We have come together this evening to be mechazek one specific family. We are being mishtatef b'tzaron of a very special family. But if we think a little bit more deeply, we will find that the Ribbono Shel Olam has sent a message not only to that family, the message has been specifically to each one of us. A family who, during the lifetime of the Chazon Ish, had a similar occurrence. And they went to the Chazon Ish and they asked him, the Ribbono Shel Olam has sent us a message. That we should do tshuva. Please teach us what should be our tshuva. How shall we do tshuva? For sure, what has happened is because of our avedus. What kind of tshuva shall we take upon ourselves? The Chazon Ish, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, answered them. Nobody knows if this is a punishment and you have to do tshuva, or there is a definite possibility that there is no place for tshuva, that this is not a punishment at all. We all know the Indian of Gilgul. The neshamas of great Geonim and Tzaddikim sometimes return to this world in order to complete some unfinished business. This may be the Gilgul of one of the great Geonim, great Tzaddikim, whose place in the world to come in Gan Eden is among the greatest Tzaddikim. But he had a little bit of unfinished business here. And to complete this bit of unfinished business, he had to come back to this world for a short period. We don't know how the completion was accomplished, but the business was accomplished, and now he goes back to the Olam Ha'emes, to Gan Eden, and his position there is among the loftiest that can be. And this young child, who was the Gilgul of this great person, has that lofty place in Gan Eden. Every single one of us has been touched by this tragedy, and each one who feels shattered by what has happened . The Ribbono Shel Olam had him in mind The message is for each one of us. Every one of us. Should learn a very important lesson to the heart from an occurrence such as happened as we are talking about. The great Goyen, Reb Chaim of Volozhin, Reb Chaim Volozhiner, the author of Nefesh HaChaim, left many unpublished great Torah volumes at his Ptira. He asked his son, Rabbi Yitzchok Volozhiner, that before he prints any of the halacha svarim, he should publish the Nefesh HaChaim. Rabbi Yitzchok Volozhin, the son of Rabbi Chaim Volozhiner, naturally obeyed his father's wishes, and he published the Nefesh HaChaim. And he wrote a Hagdama of his own for this holy sefer, Nefesh HaChaim. And in that Hagdama, Rabbi Yitzchok Volozhin writes as follows. V'choy hoyo dvoroi eilenu tamid. And these were the words of my great father, Reb Chaim Volozhiner, to me, always. Ze ikar ha'adam. This is the purpose of life. Lo li atzmo nivra. A person was not born for himself. Elo Lehetiv liachrina. A person was born to benefit others, to make others happy. That's what you're doing down here. To make others happy. And the mitzvah begins at home. First of all, a person is required to make those in his home happy. A husband is required to make his wife happy. A wife is required to make her husband happy. And children are required to help their siblings and make their siblings happy and make their parents happy and so forth and so on. And when a person meets a friend, an acquaintance, and he tells him good morning, Rabbi Yisroel Salanter, the great Gaon and Tzaddik, had a vad. He used to have a meeting with his Talmidim every week to discuss one issue. And for a long time, that issue was, how do you say a proper good morning? I know three ways of saying good morning, but Rav Yisroel Salanter knew many, many more. What are the three ways that I know? You meet with your colleagues in the morning, or you meet your family members, and you say good morning and then run off. Some people say, good morning, good morning, good morning. Neutral, not, he doesn't make anybody happy, but he doesn't make anybody sad. Some people, when they say good morning, they say, good morning. Good morning. The person who receives the good morning, he wonders, what did I do? I must have stepped on his toe or something. Why is he angry at me? That's no way to say good morning. But some say good morning and make their friends elated. There are books that have interesting stories. Would be worthwhile that everybody should look up one of these books. There's a little story that I remember that happened recently, not too recently, but When I read the story, it was recently. In Panovich, everybody knows Panovich, a big yeshiva. One day, a gentleman, a balabos, not a Talmud of the yeshiva, comes into the Beis Medrash of Panovich, and he asks where is so-and-so, and they show him where is so-and-so, and he goes over and he says, "You know, I wanted to thank you. You saved my Shalom Bayis." He looks at the fellow and he says, "Sir, I'm afraid that you're making a mistake. I don't think that we've ever met. How did I save your Shalom Bayis?" He says, "Don't you remember that a week ago you were on Rehov Avigdor, not far from Panovich?" "Ah, that's you. What's the story?" "A very simple story. In every yeshiva, big yeshiva like Panovich, most of the Talmidim are good. They learn with Hatmada. There are some who are medium, and there are a few who are failures. And the failures, sometimes, they're at least not troublemakers. But a failure who is a troublemaker, the mashgiach is always on his back. And he says, "Look, you're going to have to shape up or we'll have to throw you out." So there was one such young fellow that the mashgiach had complained to him several times. And then he, after several times, he warned him that he would be expelled from the yeshiva if he doesn't shape up. Now, this fellow happened to be sitting near one of the good boys in Panovich, one of the superior Talmidim. And this superior Talmid had just finished learning Musar with a little more than average attention. Then there was still about 10 minutes of the Musar Seder left. So he said to his Chavrusa that he learned Musar with, "Do me a favor, leave me alone these 10 minutes. Learn Musar by yourself." And he went over to this kid that was on the verge of being expelled, and he said, "Look, you know, I can't, my Chavrusa can't learn with me today, Musar, and I can't learn alone. Would you do me a favor and learn with me?" And he looked up and he was very surprised that one of the best boys in Panovich should want to learn Musar with him. It was such a compliment that he never expected. He said, "Sure, I'll be happy to learn with you." And they learned, and that began happening every second day, that he learned Musar with this young fellow. Now, these short Musar sessions made a revolution in the young fellow's life. He was ne'a pach li'yishacher. He became a real serious good student. And the mashgiach no longer talked about expelling him. He was looking for ways to praise him. one day, a bit later, this good Bocher in Ponovitz who had saved the young fellow, he learned Musar again, better than normally, and he felt that you have to do something more than you're doing. You're not doing enough. And then he recalled the Neves HaChaim, the Iker Ha'odom Lehoyel Yachrina, to help others, Kechoyel Asher Yimso Bekoichoy Lasis, the best that he could possibly do. So he thinks that I didn't do the best I could have done. And he asked his young friend who had become a crackerjack instead of being a candidate to be thrown out. He asked him, what's the address of your parents? I need to be in that house. So he told them the address of his parents. And this good Ponovitzer boy went to that address. He knocked on the door and he said, are you the father of so-and-so? And he said, yes. And he wasn't aware that his son had had a revolution. And he was afraid they were telling him to take him out of Ponovitz. And he said, He said, you should know that your son is one of the best boys in Ponovitz today. He said, what? He had never heard of such a thing before. And the other fellow was gone already, the Ponovitzer Bocher. This Bocher, who had the revolution in his life, He was a ben yochid in his family, an only child, and parnosa in Bnei Brak has never been too good. The family didn't have enough food to eat. Thanks. ברוך אתה, אדוני אלוהינו מלך, הוי אלום שהכהל נהיה בדברי. So what do parents do when they don't have enough pranasa and their only child is a failure? That was the situation for them. So they start bickering. And it's your fault, and it's your fault. Grown-ups can be babies, and babies can be grown-ups sometimes. So they had already gone to the Rabbanut in Bnei Brak, and made a tick. You know what a tick is? A tick for a divorce. A tick you should know. That's that means, I don't know how to say it in English. But, in any language, it's not good. They made a tick. There was a tick open. Now the Rabbanim were discussing pros and cons and. after this good Potiphar boy knocked on the door and told the father that your son is one of the best boys today in Potiphar, he forgot about the tick. And he forgot about bickering with his wife. His son is one of the best boys in Potiphar, so who can compare to him? And that's what one little word can do. It can change a whole picture. Can make a tick to disappear, and people who are on the verge of divorcing have nothing to even to argue about, and they're so happy that their son is such a good bocher. That's something that every one of us should know. Every one of us can, by a proper good morning, we can save a life. We can save a marriage. And you can save a life too. I'm an old man. I've been around for a long time, 92 years old. I remember not many cases, but about four cases I remember where a person went up onto the roof and jumped. I think they split 50-50. Two of them were rushed to the hospital with broken bones. It took months to get out of the hospital to repair the bones, and two of them they were rushed to a different place, not to the hospital. You have to know that one word. Now, why would a person jump from a roof? It's a dumbbell. He doesn't know that it's at least gonna break his legs and his arms and a few ribs. That if he gets out, good. So why did he do it? Who hates himself so much that he wants to cause himself so much pain? But do you ever see anybody break his own legs? Nobody does it. The terrace is the pain that he suffers every minute, the anguish that he suffers every minute. That's an anguish of the soul. It's unbearable. It's much worse than the breaking a bone. If he jumps off of the roof and so he breaks a few bones and then it is gone. So the anguish is finished. So he'll do anything to end the anguish. But if the anguish, what happened to him? Why does he have so much anguish? The anguish of the neshama, of the spirit, it's hard to answer that question, what happened to him. Sometimes it's for no reason at all. He eats his own heart out. And one word, a good word, can save his life. There's a famous story. Rav Baruch Ber, my my Veda, he was very particular about not about when he needed to go to the bathroom, he went. He didn't wait for anybody. Once, he was in America, 1929. And they had a meeting of Chizuk. And the speaker was a Rav whom he didn't respect tremendously, Rav Barber. He was a modern rabbi. He wasn't such a tremendous tzaddik. And but he was speaking. He was the first speaker. And Rav Barber had to go to the bathroom. And he didn't budge. Because he knew that everybody would say that he went out because of the speaker, not because he had to go to the bathroom. So he didn't go. And for him, this was a tremendous sacrifice. He never did that. And as soon as this speaker, he had a lot to say, and he spoke and spoke and spoke and spoke and spoke. And by the time he finished, Rav Barber made a beeline for the bathroom. That was one time when he went against his rule that you never hurt anybody's feelings. But outside of that, he never hurt anybody's feelings, Rav Barber. I'm an old man, and I forget where I am in the world. I shouldn't accept speaking obligations anymore. I don't remember where I'm up to half of the time. But that's a lesson for everybody. You have to thank the Rebbeinu Shel Olam if you know where you're up to. Just imagine how much you have to thank the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. I wish I knew where I was up to. Okay, I'm right in that picture. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam, I really forget where I'm up to. I'm on the verge of being facetious, which has no place here. I want to wish the family of the little girl that they should know that their child has some marvelous place in Gan Eden. And their child is not sad. And they should be happy too that they performed an important function. This Heilige Neshama, which is probably a Gilgul of even Heiliger Neshama, is in the one of the high spots in Gan Eden, and the Heilige Neshama should be made its yosher for the entire family. They should have nachas and simchas, and Klal Yisrael should have nachas and simchas, and we should be zeicha the bias Moshiach Tzidkenu b'mheiro v'yomeinu. Amen. You're an Einiko.
Or Einiko.
Pardon?
Or Einiko, the big bench.
All right.
Many years ago, we had a schus, we had a chabura of Avreichim that had a schus to meet weekly with our Rebbe, Reb Chaim Brim. One week, it was a few days after, probably 2 or 3 days after Rosh Chodesh Elul, we came in to learn. And when we walked into his house, he was all excited. And we looked at each other, we were trying to figure out why is Reb Chaim so excited? And he said to us, Stigizain? We had no idea what he was talking about. Did you see? No, what he's talking about. And he says, you didn't see yesterday? 2 days ago? We still didn't know what he was talking about. And he sat us down and he said, I can't believe you didn't see. The Shemayim opened up. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu came closer. It's Elul. You don't see it? You don't feel it? You have to see it. The Shemayims are open. It's Elul. And we spent time right then and there discussing what does it mean Elul, and how do you make changes, and what are you supposed to work on? And at that, in that chabura, Reb Chaim shtel desavek with a yisoid, and so you do it like a yisoid, and no one's going to be surprised by it. But he told us that if you want to succeed in your avoda in Elul, and you want to succeed in your avoda Rosh Hashanah and Yom Neiroyim, then you have to be mischazik in things that you're doing. But you don't take on huge things. Take on small things. You're mischazik in things that you're doing, just do it better. And that is the truth. That's how we are matzliach when it comes to making changes in ourselves. You take small things. You take things, we take things that we're doing already, and we try to do them just a bit better. And those changes are changes that after the Yom Neiroyim, after you go through Slichas, Rosh Hashanah, Slichas, Yom Kippur, if the change is real, and it's inside, and it's small enough that you can keep, then it will be Mamshech. And the next change will come on top of that. And that's what's called coming closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu opens up and says, I want to come closer to you, he's asking us where those changes Where are those things that are going to remain and continue growing? There's a Rambam in Hilchos Tainis. So you do it like a Rambam. At the beginning of Hilchos Tainis, the Rambam says in the first three halachas, he goes through what's happening in the world when there's a tzara. He says, when chas v'chalila, there's a tzara in the world, whether it's a famine, and there's no rains, whatever the case is, says the Rambam, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is turning to us, and he is being toiveya. He wants tshuva. He wants some sort of change. And the Rambam continues. And he says, it's obligatory to all the people who it affects to make those changes. And then he says, someone who doesn't change, someone who doesn't hear it and do the tshuva, he says, that's a midah achzorius. He says, a lashon, people who go ahead He says a lashon that people who think that it's just the way of the world, this is just the way it's going. This is how life goes. Things happen. It makes it even more difficult for them later on to make the changes, because those midos rois are stronger and more dovuk. Two weeks ago, a similar thing happened. The Kadosh Baruch Hu knocked on the door. Kadosh Baruch Hu came and he was knocking on the door because Hashem was saying, I want you to open the door. Let me in. Just like when the Shemaim's open in Elul, Kadosh Baruch Hu comes closer. Kadosh Baruch Hu came and he's knocking on the door. I want to come closer. Let me in. Bring me into your home. Let me be a chelek. And it was a knock that I don't think was heard only by one person. It was a knock that was heard loud and clear by many, many people. It was a knock that brought some pain, suffering, anguish, not only to the parents of this little girl, but also to the many hundreds of people, friends and families all around the world that have kesher to them. But the most amazing thing was that the knock was heard and the door was opened. It was amazing to watch how all around, anybody who had shaychis, anybody who has kesher with them, right away understood that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was knocking at the door. And Hashem wants changes. He wants us to let Him in. And people really opened the doors. I believe the chizuk that both the family and the klal had was something that I don't think we could have even imagined. But the real question is, all that chizuk seems to have come with a tremendous amount of regesh. There was a reason. There was something that we felt. We all felt it. And there was something pushing us, saying, okay, it's time for hizchazkus. We need to make changes. Let's go. We need to work on things. Let's move. And that's the same way we feel during Elul. And as we get closer to Yemei Aslichas, we feel it stronger, Rosh Hashanah more, Yom Kippur, and we all stand, yes, we're going to make changes, we take things, and we're going to do them better. But the real trick is to keep those things going afterwards. The real trick is what happens when those feelings are gone. They settle down. How do we continue that hischazkus that we had? How do we make it that those changes, those small things, those steps, one in front of the other, how do we make it that they continue? There's a very choshev Talmid Chacham who mentioned once he had lost a child many, many years ago. He lost a young child. And when he lost this child, he was very distraught along with his wife, and they went to the Gedolei Yisrael to ask, why, what, where? And they went to Rav Shach. And when they came to Rav Shach, so Rav Shach said, why? That's not the, there's no why. The what? Oh, that we could talk about. So we would expect that Rav Shach is going to tell him, listen, you know, you had such a striking thing, you have to become a totally different human being. That would make sense. So Rav Shach, maybe you should work on learning Hilchos Shabbos. Maybe you should work on benching from a bencher inside. What's the pshat? We have to do what we're doing. We just have to do it a bit better. And there was a tremendous hischazkus. It was unbelievable. And we have to hold on to that hischazkus. Not by thinking we're suddenly going to be other people, but to remain B'nai Torah, just better, just more. A little bit better each day. So whatever it was, any of the things that the people took themselves as a hischazkus over the time, over this hisayrus that we had, when the hisayrus rikshi is gone, when those feelings are not there to wake you up, the seichel has to kick in. And the seichel has to say, okay, now that I'm working on it, how do I do it? I do it just a bit better. I'm keeping Shabbos anyways. Let me learn Hilchos Shabbos. I'll keep it better. I'm benching anyways. I'll bench from a bencher. It'll be even better. Whatever it was, the things that each person thought of, started to do, began working on, those are the things that we have to say, okay, that's where I felt the need. Now I have to continue doing that. Just like Matzi Yom Kippur. All the things that we said we're going to work on, we try with Seichel to keep going, keep that Hischazkus going. This is the same thing. The Rebbeinu Shlomo was knocking on the door. And he's saying, let me in. And we open the door, and we let him in. Now we have to hold the door open. And the way to do that is just to keep it going. Sometimes Eitz Hatzar to write things down. We decided we're going to be mischazik in a certain inyan. Let's write it down. Let's figure out how we should do it. Sometimes an Eitz is to take a group of people, 4 or 5 people, and meet once a month, once every 6 weeks. Each one could discuss what it was that they took on to be mischazik, where they're holding. Because if we just leave it be, we can ask ourselves, Matzi Yom Kippur, where were we holding and where are we holding now? When the regish of that moment is gone, what's left to keep us going? It has to be an arbit with a seichel that says, we're now going to continue working on this. One step at a time. Things that make sense. Keep doing it. Just let's keep doing it a bit better. We can daven. We're living in a time in Klal Yisrael that the people, the enemies of Torah, they're rising up from within, from without, from everywhere. And we have to be mischazik, and we have to be stronger. And the Rebbeinu Shlomo knocked on the door, and we let Hashem in. But we can daven, we can work, and we can hope that bischus, the hischazkus that we had, the ischaskus that we're going to have, the steps that we're going to continue taking one after the other in the things that we took on, and the things that we began working, because all of those things, we should be zeichet to Yeshua for the klal, we should be zeichet to see b'shiach tzedkenu b'mehera b'yamin. I'm going to back the pillow. Discusses what's the purpose of hesped, of eulogizing. So the Gemara says one opinion is it's yikara dechai. The other opinion, pashtus, it's yikara demit. In this case, obviously, this young girl who was a nifteres, she doesn't need any hamlotzas from us. She doesn't need that we mention her big zkuyot. Of course, a nefesh tohela, a nefesh kedosha. So the only purpose of a hesped could be yikara dechaye, that we have to improve, that we have to change. We have to learn from this. We can't just let it pass by. Something that was and happened, and we carry on. No way. Especially us, we're living in this neighborhood, we're all connected. We have to look at this as a korban tzibur. We can't say, oh, this mishpocha, it's noger to them. It's noger to us. As a tzibur, it's noger to us. The Pasuk also says, "A tzaddik avad ve'en ish sam alev." The Mefarshim say, when is it considered, when is the petir of a tzaddik considered an aveda? He died for no purpose. Avad. Just left and went. A tzaddik avad. When? Kishe'en ish sam alev. When no one takes to heart, when no one takes upon himself to change, to improve, or to learn from the ways of the tzaddik, then his patira was a wasted. It was just a waste. He left. What happened? No one changes, no one improves. Tzaddik avad. This we can't let happen. As mentioned before, when we hear of such a happening, we feel very shaken, very emotional, but it's not enough momentarily to feel that way and not to take steps to improve and to change. Such a thing can't happen if it's only nogea to one mishpocha, nogea to every one of us. The Gemara says, the end of Soita, Mishamet Rabbi Pluni, Batla Anava, Mishret Met Rabbi Pluni, Batla Shkida. What are they telling us? When is it called a bittul? When did we lose that midah? When there was no one to mamshich. If no one learned from the Ptira a lesson, so Batla Anava, Batla Shkida, etc. But the Yikora Dechaya is that we realize, Sof davar hakol nishma, what's it all about living in this world? Et ha'elukim yirav et mitzvotav shemol kizeh kol ha'adam. That's what we're here for. That's what life is about. Kizeh kol ha'adam. Et ha'elukim yirav et mitzvotav shemol. We're on the doorstep of Purim. I mean, you know, the Medrash in
Parshat Noach, Tanchuma and Noach, the Medrash says that when Hashem came to give Torah to Klal Yisrael, they said, Naaseh v'nishma. We're taking it up front, no questions asked. We'll do it, then we'll find out about it. No strings attached. And Hashem was so impressed, he asked, Mi gila lebanai razeh? Where did my people learn this chokhmah to say such a thing, Naaseh v'nishma? I mean, this type of anhoga is good for an angel. An angel doesn't have a yetzirah. No problem. He's created to do. He'll do. He'll find out later. No problem. But us as human beings, we want to know what we're doing. What are we committing to? Klal Yisrael behaved like angels. They said, nice evening. And then the Gemara, the same Gemara on the same page, the Gemara, Darshan's apostle, which says Klal Yisrael was standing at the bottom of the mountain. They say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu lifted up the mountain above their heads and threatened them. Oh, you're going to take my Torah, I'm going to kill you here and now. They said, Naaseh v'nishma, what do we need the threats for? So the Medrash, Tanchuma and Noach answers, they said, Naaseh v'nishma for Torah Shebeksav. Nice little chumash. You have the vowels, you have the tunes, the trop, you read it, you sing it, beautiful, no problem. Then they saw Daf Gemara, no way. Choshech al pnei tohim. The Medrash says all of this. They didn't want it. So Hashem threatened them. Oh, take it, it's a package deal. You can't take one part without the other. So they accepted the Torah B'Ksav unwillingly. And when did they take it willingly? At the time, Mordechai v'Esther, as it says, Kimu v'kiblu alehem v'azaram aharehem. That was for the Torah Shebe'al Peh. So this is the time now of Kimu v'kiblu. Everything about Purim is Kimu v'kiblu. We had a tremendous Yeshua, we were in a great Sakona of the total destruction, and the kimu of kiblu of Torah Shebe'al Peh is with us till today. This is the biggest chus we have to continue our existence in Golos. There can be communities all over the world. They may have nice shuls, they may have nice rabbis. They get together, they daven, they have simchas. There's no continuity, assimilation. The only communities which exist is where there's learning of Torah Shebe'al Peh, where you have yeshivas, we have Talmudei Torahs, you have koilalim, Talmidei Chachomim. These are the communities that carry on. That's ki al pi advarim ha'elu karati etchem bris. The Medrash says there al pi Torah Shebe'al Peh. The bris is only with Torah Shebe'al Peh. That's the bris which keeps us going. Almost now 2,000 years of Golos. To understand the concept of Naaseh v'nishma, because by Purim we took the Torah Shebe'al Peh as well, willingly. What's the concept of Naaseh v'nishma? It says in Ovis, Kol she'ma'asav merubim mechochmosoi, chochmosoi miskayemes. V'kol she'en ma'asav merubim mechochmosoi, en chochmosoi miskayemes. The whole passage doesn't make sense. How can it be ma'asim yoiser mechochma? What you learn, you know about, you keep. If you didn't learn, you don't know. So Rabbeinu Yoina explains, someone who knows that Tachlis Tshuva is Tachlis Torah is Tshuva and Maisim Toivim, he doesn't wait till he's going to learn Masechet Shabbos Be'iyun with all the Mefarshim, and then he'll go through the two Beis Yosef, Shchon Aruch, Mishnah Brura, and then he's going to keep Shabbos. No, we learn about Shabbos from our parents, we learn from our rabbis. We learn from anyone, we have a keshe, we learn of this chumrah, and this din, and this halacha, and this peda, and we keep Shabbos. That's naaseh. First naaseh, and then nishma. Then we learn. Eventually we learn, Be'ezrat Hashem. We hope we'll cover all the sugyas, to know all the halachas from the makor. But a person whose Torah is miskayim, he's a person who lives naaseh v'nishma. That means by him, Ma'asav merubim mechochmosoi. He wants to keep. Since he wants to keep, he carries on learning. Because he knows the more he learns, the more he can be medakdek, the better he can keep. Someone whose chokhmah is more than his keeping, already now, where he's holding, he knows more than he does. Certain things he knows, he doesn't do. This causes him slowly to lose cheshek to learn. He stops learning. Why should he learn? Anyway, now he knows so much and he's keeping 80% of what he knows. He's going to learn more. What's going to be? He'll be keeping 40% of what he knows. So he slowly stops learning. He doesn't have a dachat. That's why ein chokhmosoy miskayemet. And that's the pshat in Naisei v'Nishma. That to put the asiya before the learning, that we have to keep. Tachlis toira tshuva maisim toivim. Tshuva maisim toivim. We're living in a very difficult generation. And I don't only mean it because of what's happening in the last few weeks or months or years. No. Generally speaking, the tkufa is a very difficult tkufa. And the nisyonos are very great nisyonos. On one hand, of course, there has been tremendous siyata dishmaya, and an olam ha-Torah has been built up and developed. Maybe they didn't exist for hundreds and hundreds of years, maybe 1,000 years. Such an olam ha-Torah with such quantity and such quality all over. How many Rosh Hashivas, how many Magidei Shiur, how many Mechabrei Sforim, how many Poiskim. I remember 40 years ago in the world, Rabbonim, Poiskim, who knew Choshen Mishpet, Be'iyum, Shach, and Nesives, the Kitzois, you could count them on one hand. Today, without Guzma, there are a few thousand Choshuva Rabbonim who've been through Choshen Mishpat Bi'iyun, learning it for 10 years and 12 years, and they know inside out every saif of the Shach, the Kitzois, the Sivas. Baruch Hashem is a door there, and there's tremendous siyata d'shmaya. Anyone who just starts making an effort, he'll have hatzlacha in his learning. Yagata umatzata, it's guaranteed. Yagata umatzata is guaranteed. That's on one hand, but on the other hand, there are many big nisyonos. By the prior world, those who are far away from Torah, not the Olam HaTorah. So their problems, a big problem of assimilation. Someone once told me, statistically speaking, if you're walking in a street in Manhattan, every three people who pass by, one is a Yid. But he's already assimilated, he's a Goy. The amount of assimilation is frightening. So we think, what's it nogea to us? But there's another type of assimilation. There's this boilerless hadas. You could be a ben Torah, but unfortunately you could think like a goy. That means many, many ways of the Umas HaOilam, which are very improper for us, are stealing their way into our type of life in a kosher way. In a kosher way. This is probably the biggest nisoyon for the Bnei Torah today. How to retain our purity, our kedusha. We know the problems of noitrim. From the best families, there could be children who sometimes go off the derech and get involved in very, very bad things, very negative things. Where does this all come from? Why are we so affected in this way? That means, let's say, the Indian of Tznius. So happened to have had one of the seminars in Yerushalayim. So when it was started, there's a Hoyeroth at Tznius. How long the dress has to be, and the sleeves, and the collar, and this type of material, and that type of material. The Seder. But that's not enough. Tznius goes way beyond those set of rules. And if we live by that set of rules, we're not really so Tzniusdik. Tzniusdik is how someone talks, how they sit, how they walk, how they behave. And sometimes everything will be according to the rules, but it's not Tznius. It could be very far from Tznius. And this is all part of the Isboilelus. That, you know, we're living with the rules. Okay, everything can, today you can get everything with the Heksha. Everything. So people are living it up with the Heksha. They can give you all sorts of holidays and all sorts of places where no Yid should ever go. And the food will have a Heksha, there'll be a Mashgiach, he'll make everything kosher. But there's a lot of things there which are not kosher. The way people hang around and sit around and go and come, and probably usually these places have televisions in the rooms. People can be easily tempted to put on switch it on. These are our nisyoinas. The Bnei Torah have to handle with their nisyoinas. These are our nisyoinas. Badakas to badakas. We're speaking to Bali Batim. So we'll tell them, don't waste time talking about politics, about sports. V'dibarta bam lo b'dvarim b'teilim, learn Torah. If we're speaking to Bnei Torah, what are we going to tell them? They don't speak about politics, almost. So Avada, the concept of v'dibarta bam lo b'dvarim b'teilim by Ben Torah is a completely different level. I understand pshat. Someone is learning a sugya, and I say, Arei zok de Gemara. It's not the pshat. And Rashi explains Azoi. That's not the pshat in Rashi. Toises frek. That's not the kasha. Marsho zok. That's not the marsho. You're learning b'shitchias. If you're not really miming, and you say this is the pshat here, the rishonim are big pailos on us. They never meant that. Their words are very deep. You have to be a geah. So a person could be sitting and learning, and he's over on v'dibarta b'am v'lo b'dvarim b'teilim, because he's learning b'shitchias. I have a raya for this pirush. Reb Chaim Volozhiner and Ruach Chaim says, Shnaim sheyoshvim ve'en b'nem divrei toira arizo moishav leitzim. So we understand the pshat. Shnaim sheyoshvim, say two avrichim on the way to Koyle, they meet in the bus, on a taxi, on a car, on the road. No, it says Yoishvim. Okay. On a park bench. They meet. Shnaim sheyoishvim. Ve'en b'nehem divrei Torah. They're not talking and learning. Zeh moishav leitzim. Okay? They're not learning and they're talking about other things. We understand. Zeh moishav leitzim. Reb Chaim Volozhiner says that's not the pshat. We're speaking about Shnaim sheyoishvim tu g'doyle ador. Sitting in the same best medrash, one in this corner and one in this corner. And they learn from morning to night, non-stop, b'hasmoda g'doyle, b'amkes, b'chiduishim, and they're writing chidushet toira. It's a moishav leitzim. Why? Ein b'nehem divrei toira. Why aren't they talking and learning? Feltepes. He says each one is misloises from the divrei toira of the other. That's a moishav leitzim, according to Reb Chaim Volozhiner. So we see this on a higher plane, a different way to look at things, that we as Bnei Torah have to work for those higher levels of avodas Hashem. For Baal HaBos, if he comes to shul, puts on tefillin and davens, and by Aleinu is already half out, maybe he missed karbonis, you know, he started Baruch Shoma, medaleg a bit of zmira, has got to the Amida, daven, and he's out. Should a Ben Torah daven like that? Rather than the tefillah is big on a Ben Torah, he should be on time, he should say, he shouldn't be medaleg in his tefillah, he should say karbonis and zmiras and everything. Maybe learn a little bit after davening, even if he's a Ben Torah. Learn one Mishnah, learn one halacha. It's brought down in all the Sforim. V'ilchum el-chayil chayil. It's a seif in the Shulchan Aruch. You should learn after davening. So the tvi on Ben Torah are on a different level altogether. All of us now sharp, fearful, worried about the situation here in Eretz Yisrael with these gzeiras against Loim Dea Torah, against the Moistes, against the Yechidim or the Bochrim. They want to take them into the army. Of course, they don't need them in the army. They just want to be machshil them by averes. That's the whole idea. They can't take it anymore. There's too many frum people around. The whole face of Eretz Yisrael is changing. They want to do away with frum people. No, they don't need these people anymore. One of the big politicians of Israel from Bekuma Medina, he wrote about another politician who was his opponent in the Hashkofa of politics, that he had written that we would, when money was asked, deals were made by Weissmandl and others, that you could literally buy 1 million Jews in Hungary for peanuts. Eden could have been saved. And one of these politicians commented, we'd rather have a few cows in the Negev than all these black hats floating around Eretz Yisrael. So this Hashkofa is not a new Hashkofa. This Hashkofa has been always. Now they have an opportunity. But it doesn't help us to blame them. We don't expect anything from them. We know that Amei Haaretz hate Talmid Hachomim, Hazal said it, and that's what we expect. The question is, why is it happening to us? We have to look into ourselves. If we don't show enough appreciation for the great opportunities we have in this generation to learn, there's never been such a matzav which has made serious learning available to everybody. There's no anias. No one's going to die of starvation. When we heard, I learned in Ponovich by Rav Chach, when he was a young boy, he could have died of starvation. There was some lady bringing him every day, something to eat every day. That's what he was living. His clothes were torn. They all lived by anias gedoyla. In Yerushalayim, there were Gdoyle Israel who died of hunger. I know their names. They found them bloated in their houses, dead. Gdoyle Israel, Mechabris Forum. There was anias in the world. Today, if you want to learn, you can learn. If you don't come from a rich family, you will have a minimum support. You won't die. You can live, and you can live nicely, not bad. Anyway, the Nefesh HaChaim says the whole heter for a person to work, to have panosa, is only kedei lechem lechol ubegid lilbosh. That's all. A person can't say, I want to work to be rich. There's no such thing. You have the right to work enough every day to have bread to eat and water to drink. If Hashem gave you a brocha and you invested an hour, two, three, and you became a millionaire, okay, that's Hashem's brocha. But for a person to say, I want to work to be a millionaire, there's no such thing. According to the Nefesh HaChaim. Are we showing this appreciation that we should be showing and taking advantage of our situation to learn Torah as we should? Basmoda, Amkes, to fully utilize our potential. If we are mezalzel in our opportunities to learn, so Hashem says, you know what, go to the army. So the Medina here speaking about 1,800 Eluim, they can remain in Koilalim. The 1,000 or Bokhrim, I don't know, 1,800 can remain, the Eluim. So they're telling us that there's such a concept of Eluim, these are the serious ones, really Shkuim Belimuda Teira, but the others are Atlonim. They may as well go to the army. We have to always look into ourselves. It's not a chokhmah to blame them. They're a shoim, we know that. They hate us, we know that. Lo mipiem anu chayim. We didn't get to where we got to because of them anyway. It's all the schus of the Gdoli Yisrael, the Rosh Yeshivas, who b'mtzius nefesh built up such an oilam haTorah and gave us all these opportunities that we have so many yeshivas and at different levels and so many shiurim in each yeshiva. It's unbelievable what there is. If we are mezalten in our opportunities, they can be taken away from us. We can lose them. What can we say? An outstanding young couple of Yerei Shamayim, Tzadikim, Bnei Torah, to lose a daughter. What's the lesson there for us? This daughter could have grown up, she could have become a Eishes Chayil, Eishes Talmid Chochem, a Tzadekes, she could have been a Baales Chesed. We didn't have this chutz. We lost it. If we have to feel that it's a message to us, the message should be lost opportunities. This is one example of a loss, but we're losing all the opportunities. All these gzeres in every area that we're today fighting very difficult battles. It all comes because our lack of sensitiveness to Torah and Kedusha. Briska Rav in the Beit HaLevi, he mentions by the Dora Mabul. The Gemara first says, "In Bnei Adam Chatu Behema B'Mahata." Why were the animals killed? They sinned. The Gemara understands they didn't sin. And then the Gemara brings Sukim that Gamken Nihayunis Kakim Shelo Leminam. So what's the Kasha Mahatu? So the Briska Rav says, animals don't sin. Animals became corrupted because human beings were corrupt. When human beings are corrupt, then the animals are also corrupt. So they don't sin. They got corrupted by us. So if we see all sorts of evil things happening, it's not that we're going to point to them, oh, these are all evil people that are showing. They don't know. They're animals. They know nothing. It could be that lax, our callous and certain things of Kedusha and Tahara, in sneers, in Erech Hazman, to give value to time, to give value to the opportunities we have to learn. If we're mezalzel, the outside world becomes a jungle. And this jungle attacks us. And we lose on all counts. So this smallest oileris should serve for us as a simon to know where we're holding and to wake up to the call. As we heard before, Hashem is knocking on the door. It's a big knock. It's not an easy thing to go through. And we should all feel this knock, because usually it starts with a little tug of the sleeve. If we don't hear, then we get a bit of a shake-up, but then it comes a knockout punch, Hashem Yirachem, which we don't ever want to know about. We don't want to feel. But we see the sakanas hovering over us in every way. Every one of us should realize, if the outside world dare to say about the Bnei Torah that Ein Lahem Shivyon Benetel, that they're not doing their part, the truth is just the opposite. The Medrash Eicha says, two Rabbonim came to a town and said, take us to the Neture Karta. What did they mean? They meant those who guard the city. So the people took them to police house, the police, and then they took them to the army. They said, no, these are not Neture Karta, these are Meharube Karta. These are the ones who destroy the town. We requested the Neture Karta, those who protect the Bnei Torah. Take us to the yeshivas, take us to the koilanim, take us to Talmid Chachomim. Hakol kol Yankiv, we are dying with the Esav. Whenever the voice of Jacob is heard, in the Bate Knesset, the Bate Midrashes, any day Esav, they can't harm us. And we see today we're living a miracle here. And especially this community, most of them coming here from America, maybe many of them intending to leave at some stage. You must be crazy. What do people say? The people living in America, they hear the news, they come to realize they're on a war zone. It's like going in the middle of a war zone, missiles flying all over the place, and you come here to learn Torah. Not only boys, girls. All the seminars you have for American girls, European, what's going on? We have bitochen. We know we're living a miracle. I heard this afternoon, I don't know what happened since then, at about 5 in the afternoon, in 20 minutes, they fired 55 missiles on Sderot. All of them landed in empty spaces which don't exist in Israel. That's it. So we're living a miracle. How is this miracle happening? Is the schus of the Bnei Torah? Shivyon Bnei Torah? We do everything. Ha'olam koyam b'schus ha'Torah. Rav Chaim Volozhiner says that for 1 minute there wouldn't be learning, the whole world would just disintegrate, would crumble. Lulei brisi yomam v'layla chukos shamayim v'ares lo samti. So we have to know, we have a big responsibility. We need the Shmira of Torah. We need each individual learning. No batola. We're on the front line of this battle. It's us chus that's keeping Klal Yisrael alive here. Nothing else. Only the Bnei Torah. Baruch Hashem, we started off with Purim, we're approaching Purim. It's a time, a tremendous time of Simcha, Kimu Vekiblu, and the mitzvah here is Suda Umishte. And unfortunately, I must say something I never remembered 30 years ago, 40 years ago. Young yeshiva boys getting drunk. Absolutely, I mean stone drunk. I'm speaking about misbehaving through being drunk. There's no mitzvah to get to that stage. The Gemara says, I initially besume, to become a bit tipsy. That's the maximum. But not to behave like a meshugana, not to brawling in the street, and all sorts of horrible things. We have to know the whole world is looking at us. They're looking how to criticize us. This could be in any way. A Ben Torah buying a leaven in the groceries. They're looking at him, how he behaves. Like the Gemara says, what's the Chilul Hashem? The Chachomim said, if we don't pay up front and we take on credit, that's already a Chilul Hashem. Because by Talmid Chochem, a Ben Torah, the slightest thing he does, the colors, without really thinking what he's doing, could be a Chilul Hashem. So in all these, we have so many areas. I mean, it's without gvul. I think the general rule should be, we have to stop this primus dick assimilation, where all the outside cultures are hitting us inside without us being aware, because it's all kosher. I mean, all of us get in our mailboxes these like printout, you know, community magazines. If you look, if you just browse through it, what do you see? You see what certain types of furniture, you see carpets, you see curtains, you see chandeliers, you see all sorts of luxuries, moistures. What sort of hinuch is this? Never mind the wigs, and never mind the shoes, and never mind all other areas where there's all these books are clean, there's no improper pictures in them, it's all Be'ezes Hashem, Im Yirtzeh Hashem, everything is koisha v'yoisha, but it's not the right way, it's not the way for Bnei Torah. We have to, each one on his level, to live a life of hestapkes. Ein Torah miskaymes im mishim mis atzmo aleha. A person can't say, okay, you know, I'm from America, I'm different. Okay, you're different, it's true. If you can afford things, you can live a little more on a higher level, but not a life of moisture, waste. Some people have almost nothing to eat, and some people are throwing money and on nothing. So we have to think of all these things, not to be just pulled into situations because of our situation, that we're not thinking, we're not looking at things with a critical eye. What's going on? Where are we going? How is this happening to us? How could we do this? We have to think it out. And Be'ezras Hashem, we hope that if we are Mis'orer B'tshuva, this will be a chizuk for our shchuna, for Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, for Klal Yisrael, in Eretz Yisrael, in the whole world, where we need tremendous Yeshuas. We need the schus of Torah, we need Ahavas Torah, we need the tznius. Baron Leif says that just like by men, the biggest mitzvah is Talmud Torah, by women, the biggest mitzvah is tznius. So women are going to be careful on this nekuda, like I said, beyond the rules. The rules are not enough. The rules allow for a lot of zigzagging, which we can't afford. If we can all improve, be a chizik for the community, then maybe the mishpocha will have a nechoma that their daughter who left at this young age left the world, leaving behind much pain and sorrow, that her p'tira will not be wasted, but it'll cause the biggest oilerus, a big chizik, and that this chizik from this little oilam should spread to others, and the ripples should go from one to another, that there should be many others affected to look towards improving.